Amen. I was didn't find out till this morning that I had to preach today, so I was just asking the Lord, you know, and something we've been talking about in our Tuesday night Bible study, and I had a couple of things, and so I was asking the Lord for confirmation. Then we sang the first song we sang about giants being slayed, and so I'm going to talk about is the story of David and Goliath, you know, extend it a little past. A cool little Sunday school story, because there's all kind of types in the Old Testament. In Luke chapter 24, when Jesus was walking with the two guys on the road to Emmaus, it said he began speaking to them, taking the scripture, which is the Old Testament, and began to speak to them all through it about the Christ. Okay, so everything in the Old Testament points to the cross. It's just pictures and types. And 2 Samuel chapter 9 is a common one we do around here, where David representing God the Father, Jonathan the Son, and Mephibosheth, us, you know, who was crippled from a fall. So, great story, but again, that's just type, kind of pointing toward the cross. So, we'll do this kind of in the nutshell version. Starting in 1 Samuel 16, if you want to turn there, or you can just write these scriptures down. I'll just read a few. This is about David. Right after David was anointed to be king, right? God had rejected Saul as being king, and David was anointed. Now, Saul was the choice of the people, okay? Saul is going to represent the first Adam, Adam that failed, okay? Saul failed as king, disobeyed. Adam disobeyed, right? Brought sin into the world and death. So in this story, to look at like David being a type of Christ, okay? He was God's choice and he was anointed. Matter of fact, it says in verse 13, it says, Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward, and Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him, which is about warfare, right? He was rejected, sin, kind of release, all that stuff. But a key, cool thing about David here said that the Spirit remained on David. Usually in the Old Testament, when the Holy Spirit would come, he would kind of come and go. Come and go. He would fall on the prophets, they would prophesy, and then the Holy Spirit would kind of leave. So this is another type of David where the Holy Spirit rested on him. Right, just when Jesus in his baptism, the Holy Spirit came and rested on him. Okay, but here's one thing I never really had seen about David. Verse 18. Then one of the young men said, "Behold, I have seen son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, who is, and of course Jesus was born in Bethlehem, right? Who is a skillful musician, a mighty man of valor, a warrior, one prudent in speech." A handsome man, and the Lord is with him, you know. So I never really noticed that about saying all these things about David, because we just think of him as being a little shepherd boy, right? But he wasn't. He was a man of valor. He was a warrior, you know, and learned that in the wilderness. Okay, picking up on chapter 17. And, you know, when Saul had that evil spirit, David would come and play. And when he would come, the evil spirit had to go. Another good picture, right? When our praise and our worship sends him. He can't stay in that environment. That's the reason he attacks the worship leaders relentlessly. All right, 1 Samuel 17. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle. They were gathered at Socoh, which means tents or tabernacles, and Azekah, which is strength of walls, like stronghold. So you think, you know, what Scripture says about the enemy being in the stronghold, okay? In this place called Ephes-Damin. And Ephes-Damin is this place where they were going to fight, and that word means the pouring of blood, okay? So you think about where the battle clashed, there was the shedding of blood, was the name of that place. So again, it's kind of a picture looking to the cross, Tetelestai, the finished work of the cross. Saul and the men of Israel were gathered, and they camped in the valley of Elah, which is a word for curse. And we know that Jesus came and broke the curse, right? The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, while Israel stood on the other mountain, on the other side, in the valley between them. Then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, which is 9. He was 9 feet tall. Pretty big guy. Not impossible, because the tallest man that ever lived was 8'11". Okay? So this, the name Goliath means to uncover or reveal. Okay, you think about the enemy, how the Lord uncovers and reveals who they really are. Okay. And Gath is the word winepress. Okay, here he had a bronze helmet on his head. He was clothed with scale armor. Looking at that, it's like scales of a dragon. All right. In Revelation, he's called the dragon of old. All right. We had this bronze helmet. He was clothed with scale armor, which weighed 5,000 shekels. And we'll look at the number 5. We know the number 5 is the number of grace. They get that from the 5 wounds of Christ. But it's also the number of victory, and it's also the number of judgment to the enemy. Right? The grace of what everything the grace of God brought. So it's interesting that his helmet was 5,000 shekels of bronze. The bronze means to judge, bring judgment. So I'm not going to read this whole thing. I'll just read it. He also had bronze greaves, shin guards on his legs, and bronze javelin slung between his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the head of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. His shield carrier also walked before him, and he stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel and said, "Why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine, and you servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, you shall become our servants and serve us." So really another picture here that the enemy are the servants of God. Okay, they always play into his hand. God fulfills his purpose through them. They don't even realize it. All right, and it's a good picture here. If they're defeated, Goliath is defeated, then the Philistines would forever now have to serve Israel. All right, and I'm going to jump down. So he would come. He would shout every day, and Israel would all take off running. You know. So David was sent by his father to the battle. He had 3 brothers fighting in the battle. So David goes and takes them food. And he went to the front line. And then he heard, he saw Goliath come down and then again give his challenge. And when all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled and were greatly afraid. He got there right when he came and everybody took off running. The men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who is coming up? Surely he is coming to defy Israel. And that will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free of Israel." Okay? Defeats him. They get the riches. You think about that. Ephesians chapter 1, of all the riches in Christ. Okay? And the daughter meaning the church. Okay? So David hears this, and it stirs something up in him. Like, why are you doing it? You know, what are you running from? So we'll pick up from there. And his brother, when he said that, his brother's anger burned against him. They were evidently jealous because he was the one anointed as king. They all saw that. Okay. That's for another time, though. All right. Picking up on verse 31 of Samuel 17. When the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Jesus came to serve, not to be served. Okay? So you see kind of a picture of that. Then Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You're but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth." David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. When he rose up against me, I seized him by the beard. I struck and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." And so, and then Saul clothed David with his garments and put on a bronze helmet on his head, clothed him with his armor. And David girded the sword over his armor, tried to walk, but he couldn't, for he had not tested him. So David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these. I've not tested them." And David took them off, took all the armor off. You see a picture here of Jesus laying aside in Philippians chapter 2, his right as God, and came with no armor on. Okay? That was the plan of God, to send someone like this. So you see this picture of David, and when he was in tending sheep in the wilderness, that's where the Lord trained him to become a warrior. Dennis brought something up that night, Dennis Fountain, in our Bible study. About once a year, Dennis says something, you know. And it's like we call him E.F. Hutton, because when he says something, everybody, it was really cool. But he was talking about how David, you know, was probably daily practicing with the sling. And more than likely, that's how he took down the lion and the bear. Hit them. Then he went up there, you know, walking up to him and grabbing the lions by the mane and stabbing him. He's probably a little delirious, right? And so another picture of just seeing David come with no armor on. And I think that even confused the enemy when Jesus was walking on the earth, because I think, too, they thought that the Messiah would come like a general, Roman general with armies, the armies of God, and just defeat the Romans and free the people. But that's not how he came. Now, here's some pretty cool stuff. He took his stick in his hand, chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his pouch. And his sling was in his hand as he approached the Philistine. The Philistine came and approached David with a shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was a youth, ruddy, with a handsome appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. So you see this picture of David going to the brook. So much symbolism there. And taking the rocks out of the brook. Just like they did when they crossed the Jordan, Joshua and Israel, when they crossed the Jordan to go into the land, they took rocks from the middle of the water. Rocks represent covenant. God promises his covenant. And these rocks that they used for these slings were actually round. It was more like probably a small baseball, right? So he picks them and he has a stick in his hand. And it emphasizes him having that stick in his hand twice. So the stick represents the cross, right? Jesus came and defeated the enemy with the stick and with the stones, covenant, right? Promises of God. That's what he came with. And the cool thing about, I'll get to that in a minute, I just get excited about telling it, that the sling they had were made from a sheep, a lamb. They would use the leather from that, and also the wool they would use to make the pocket that held the stone. So it was made from a lamb, made from a sheep. Okay? Picture of Jesus being the Lamb of God. So the Philistine also said, "Come to me. I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field." And David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel you had taunted." So when the Philistine was telling David, "I'm going to not only kill you, but I'm going to make it to where the birds will come and eat your flesh." So you think about the crucifixion, right? Satan organized the crucifixion, putting him to death. not knowing that he was playing right in to the hand of God. And so look at, you know, Goliath, of course, represents Satan himself, the leader, the biggest one. Okay? And another thing about the five, why did he choose five? Of course, we talk about grace, judgment of God. In Joshua chapter 10, if you've ever read that story about the hidden kings, the hidden kings of Joshua is when five armies were coming against Joshua, and he fought. And they were defeating them, and their kings, the five kings, ran themselves in a cave. And so when Joshua brought them out, put his foot on their neck and killed them and hung them on five trees, right? They see the judgment of God for the hidden kings. So that's another thing that this five, the judgment against the enemy and the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places, okay, are going to be defeated. Get this water real quick. Excuse me. So you think about the enemy. When he saw Jesus and thought, this can't be the plan of God. This man's coming against me with a stick, right? So, can't you just see the mocking of that? David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have taunted." There's an interesting scripture I was looking at, again dealing with the water, because the water represents the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus said, "From your innermost being will flow rivers of living water." 1 Corinthians chapter 12, "You are all made to drink of one Spirit, the Holy Spirit." And in the book of 1 John, it says this in chapter 5, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This one came by water and by blood, Jesus Christ. Not with the water only, but with water and with the blood. For it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are these three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood." Okay? So it's interesting that he says Goliath came to him with a sword, spear, and a javelin. And then Jesus came with water, through the water, his baptism, through the Holy Spirit, and the shedding of blood. And he says, "This day the Lord will deliver you up in my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky, the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God of Israel. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Another thing about the stones, I saw interesting reading back in Joshua chapter 10, if you want to go do that. Within that chapter, the enemy was defeated because the Lord was chunking stones at him from heaven, right? I'm sure he doesn't miss. What do you think? Can you imagine that stone? So, that, again, that represents those five stones, his defeat. "Then it happened when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine, and put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it, and struck the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground." Really cool thing. Dennis also brought up the other night, I never thought about this. David ran to the battle, you know, and when he put that rock, he was probably running with it, you know. Just gain more momentum and just let it fly. "Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone." Right? "They overcame him because of the blood of their lamb and the word of their testimony." Remember, rocks represent covenant testimony. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That's what it represents. And the word of their testimony, a sling and a stone. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him, cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Two scriptures. One in Genesis, when the Lord kind of speaks the judgment on the enemy, when he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between you, your seed, and her seed. And I shall bruise you, he shall bruise you on the head, and he'll bruise you on the heel. Right? Where the crucifix is his feet. So, prophetic word way back in Genesis that you're going to get bruised on the head. And the Nahum says his wound is incurable. Again, so David ran, stood over him, drew out his sword, killed him, cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw again that their champion was dead, they fled. Then the men of Israel rose, shouted, and pursued the Philistines as far as the valley. And so the gates of Ekron and the slain Philistines lay along the way of Shaaraim, even to Gath and Ekron. And the sons of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their camps. And David took the Philistine's head, brought it to Jerusalem. He put his weapons in his tent. He disarmed him. Right? In Colossians, familiar verse to us. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Remember, he was uncircumcised. He made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our transgressions. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile against us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and the authorities, he made a public display of them, just like David did to him, right? Having triumphed over him through the cross. Do one more thing in Revelation. So part of learning warfare, I remember I had this dream one time, and I was in a couple of dreams that the Lord was sharing me. And I was went down in this place, and there were like these TV screens everywhere, and I knew that they were the plans of the enemy, that I'd see that. And then there was this little small person, right, that was up higher, little midget guy, and he jumped on me, you know. I thought, what the heck does that mean, you know? But, you know, Scripture also says that when we finally see him, see Satan, we'll say, that's him? We were scared of that? And in Revelation, this is really cool. I saw this the other day. And it's chapter 12, the woman giving birth. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Talking about Jesus being born, right? The woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God so that she would be there, nourished for 1,260 days. And there was a war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, but they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice of heaven saying, now the salvation, the power, and the kingdom of our God, and his authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down. He accuses them before God night and day. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. Y'all, that's a real picture there, because some of it is not. Some of it talks about this happening after the child was born, right? Picture of the cross. What happened? There was a war going on in the heavens, and they won. Michael and the angels won, and the enemy was disarmed, and he was cast down to the earth. Goliath fell on his face on the earth. Just a great picture. And the Lord just keeps sharing other things with that. That'll be all without. But if you engage warfare, we talk about this all the time here, from the place of victory, knowing that the great champion has been cast down, disarmed, and an incurable wound he will have forever. Okay? Only thing he can do is like he did, was taunt the armies of Israel, trying to put fear in them, trying to make himself bigger than he is. That's his only weapon against us. Lies to make himself bigger than he is. But at the cross, he was defeated. Disarmed, his head was cut off. Right? So now, what would happen if Goliath said, if this happens, then all the Philistines will become your servants. They are now under your feet. Okay? You just got to remind them of that. When you run to the battle, you got to remind them that they're under your feet. And they cannot defeat you. I saw the other day, I woke up and coffee cup on my dresser and had a wolf on it, a couple of wolves. And then the thought that went through my mind is devourer. The wolf is a devourer. And I've been praying about that. Lord, just come against the devourer. Pray. I knew it was a bigger word than just me. It was about our church. You know, we just... I was thinking about it last night again. And I was like, Lord, you know, how do I pray against this devourer? Well, one of the little stuffed animals that we let our dog play with is a wolf. And when I looked at it in the floor, it was laying on his back, like with his feet up. And whatever it is, or whatever that represented, the Lord said he defeated it. That it was like, there's been a lot of kickback, if you hadn't noticed, with this summer. And the enemy has been judged, and he's been defeated. Right? And we're just going to celebrate that fact. Amen. Well, let's stand. Please stand. May the peace.